to the podcast, Keep It Simple. Join our hosts, Tom LeComp and Gavin Durson, as they discuss the joys and challenges of being the simple church in a complex world. Hey, welcome to the podcast. This is Tom LeComp.
I'm Gavin Durson, and this is Keep It Simple, a podcast dedicated to helping folks navigate through the waters of simple church, house church, organic church, and we're glad you joined us today. Today we're going to have a sort of a practical topic we would like to kind of chat about, Tom and I, and maybe it'll be an encouragement to you and where you're at.
Well, here's the deal. If you're involved in a simple church or a house church, it is a small group of people, usually, you know, anywhere from 4 to 20 adults, maybe some children mixed in, and you're talking, you're discussing. It's a two-way, three-way, four-way, five-way conversation. If you're doing simple church in a biblical manner, it's really not just one person standing up in front of everyone and preaching, although I've seen churches do that, but I really think it works better when everyone is contributing, everyone is participating, everyone has something to say, and you're relying on the Holy Spirit to kind of guide that conversation, that study. That being said, whenever you get a group of people together in a small enclosed place, you're always it won't be long until you figure out. Or someone comes to the surface like, hey, this guy's a little difficult. This gal's a little bit difficult to work with. Or this person is always talking. Or this person never talks. Or this person is always saying sarcastic things. Or this person is always trying to pick a fight. Or this person always has this pet issue that may or may not be, you know, solid Christianity. Let's talk a little bit about what we could do when we encounter such a person. What do you think, Gavin? It might be that I'm that person.
Yeah. Well, I think the Bible, you know, gives us some instruction about this. And, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it talks about orderly worship. And, you know, it's interesting. This passage has got a lot of stuff going on in it and some things which we would probably could devote entire classes and our life to trying to discuss. But if you kind of get the basic gist of what's going on here, Paul seems to be mostly concerned in the church in Corinth that there's order at some level in the worship service, in the worship times together. I say service, forgive me, but it's still, some things still are hard to shed, but it certainly wasn't a service, but it was a worship gathering. They were worshiping God, and he does sort of tell them, you know, what shall we say then, brothers, when you come together? Everyone has a hymn, a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or interpretation, and all these must be done for the strengthening of the church. And so he sort of sets up this saying where, hey, everybody's to participate, which in of itself can be a challenging thought for some of us.
It's dangerous.
But it should be done so that everyone can be built up or mutually encouraged. And he goes on to talk about, you know, a lot of things, but one of the things he says in here, he says if, you know, two or three prophets should speak and others should weigh carefully what is said. And then verse 30 says, if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. You know, and he says, for y'all can prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. So, you know, I think the challenge sometimes is in simple churches that you can have people that, quite frankly, they want to talk too much about something.
So what do we do with a person who's either a know-it-all and wants everyone to know that they're a know-it-all, they know it all, I've been educated here and there, and yeah. I was reading the other day, and then this is, did you know that this was, you know, the scientific, and I was reading this, and what do you do with a guy that won't shut up?
I think you're always discussing and you're making sure that people understand this very principle in here. And he says that, you know, God is not a God of disorder, but a God of peace. He says in 32, the spirit of the prophets are subject to the control of the prophet. So, you know, and what he's saying here is that the person speaking should defer to the other person. So there is this mutual submission. And so I think, you know, a practical way I've addressed this is I've said, hey, guys, look around the room. you know, do the math in your head. We're not going to be here all day. You know, generally we're here for an hour or so. We've got kids that this is about what they can handle. If you've got something to say, just do the math in your mind and do so in such a way that defers, that gives the opportunity that, you know, is there something else that some, you know, other people, giving them the opportunity so that each one may bring something. Well, you know, say what you're going to say, but say it in a matter of few minutes if you just do the math in your head, you know, and we want to encourage that. And that doesn't mean that there's a rule about that. Sometimes someone's going to say something a little longer and it'll be of the Lord. Sometimes someone will maybe be not say a thing because God will encourage them to not, you know, to be silent and to listen.
So how do you practically do that? You say you're setting it up beforehand.
Yeah.
In some of our groups I've been involved in, we usually have a theme. We usually have a passage that we're looking at. But there's always that guy or girl that speaks more than the others. How do you encourage more? First of all, more people to speak up, and then
some people
to speak much less. So,
yeah.
How do you do that practically without hurting feelings, without, you know, interrupting the focus on Jesus? You know, where, like, if I say, Gavin, you're talking too much, please let somebody else talk. All of a sudden, I have embarrassed you, and any thought of you worshiping the Lord or learning from Him, that's gone.
Well, this is the challenge of simpler, and this is one of the reasons why, honestly, if you're looking for your life to be more, you know, if convenience and the path of least resistance is your primary goal, that's probably why you want to go ahead and turn this podcast off right now and just keep going about. Go find some other way to live out your faith. The reality is that this is one of the good and challenging parts of Simple Church, because quite frankly, like, some people need to learn to lay down their what they have to say and let God speak and let God's trust God in others. So it means sometimes it requires, and I've had to do this, that when the meeting is over or in casual conversation, you pull someone aside and you give them an encouragement. Say, hey, I really appreciate what you had to say, but notice that when you said that, everyone else, it kind of silenced everyone else.
Yes.
So how could we share those ideas in a way that encourages other people to contribute?
How could we build up the body by letting them exercise their brain muscles and their mouth muscles?
It's also, I think, you know, it comes to saying too, like, helping people to understand, like, where is the appropriate time and place for certain things to be discussed? And they're, quite frankly, you know, when we get together, the number one rule, are we building each other up? Is this building each other up?
Right.
Are we stripping the opportunity of the one another's to happen? And are we willing to stop talking so that others can start? You know, these are all just matters of Christian discernment and submission to one another that, you know, it does require sometimes, if you are a leader, to use your gifts to help encourage people and to help talk to people and help them to get this. Some people may be offended and they may not want to be a part of it, and that'll be God's way of rooting out things that could be divisive or people that could sap the life out of a group.
Yeah.
Others will respond to that instruction, and you will actually help them become a better disciple of Christ as they learn to live in that type of mutual submission and have
that's the goal
around people, you know. So I think the answer is there is no easy answer to it, and it does involve sometimes lovingly confronting people. And we are by large people who don't want to confront people and don't want to encourage people. It's not a confrontational in a bad way. I mean, the times I'm thinking in my mind that I've done this, you know, it's, you know, a lot of times it looks like you trying and then not hearing it, and you have to maybe try again and then not hear it. And if you love that person and you're trying to love them into to being a part of the group, it tends to, I think, work out. One instance I'm thinking of, we tried and tried. Eventually the guy left because he realized we weren't really allowing him to kind of go on his rant.
He wanted a platform.
Yeah. And we're still friends, and I see this guy from time to time, and we're still – he's no longer a part of that Simple Church group, which is unfortunate. But maybe he will be next year or tomorrow. You know, I don't know. But there's still a relationship there.
Okay.
But I think that you just kind of help people see that, you know, what we're trying to do here is to create an atmosphere for one anothering. And if one person takes all the time, one another and can't happen. We can't be faithful to this scripture that I just read that each one brings something, you know.
Right.
So I think of reminding people at the beginning, especially when there's new people, hey, we want to encourage everybody to share, to bring something to the table. But in doing that, look around the room, do the math in your head for all of us to be able to do that in a reasonable amount of time. That means that all of us are going to have to be brief. And always we can point to Jesus. We can say, hey, look at what Jesus said. Most of his greatest teachings only happened in a few sentences. If we can work to discern and discipline ourselves that way, then we're going to become more like Christ in doing so. And so maybe pray or prayerfully think through this week. What are just the one or two things or the one thing that maybe God wants me to share? So we're not just showing up and just spewing, but we're actually putting thought into it before we get there. Lord, what is it that you want me to bring to the table this week?
And one of the ways you could do that, you could think ahead of time, or you could have like a guided study where we know that this week we're into the second chapter of Colossians and we're all studied that and we've all got our thoughts and our notes in our head or written down, and this is what this passage meant to me this week. You know, you have that. So what you're saying, I hear you saying that you've set up some ground rules maybe before or as you're meeting.
Well, I didn't set them up. I think that the scripture sets them up.
Well, I'm saying as you're...
We can just point people to this, you know, and say, hey.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some, you know...
But you're saying as you're meeting... You start the meeting, or somehow everyone is aware of the ground rules. Like, hey, everybody has a stake in this. Everybody has something to say. If you're going to monopolize the conversation, you know, that's not good. Let everyone. So you say that ahead of time, and then you say if that's gets out of hand, maybe you could talk to him afterwards. What about while it's happening? Can you tell a guy to shut up in a godly way, or can you kind of deflect him or shut him down somehow?
I think you
in
can.
A nice way.
I will say that I think there's been times where there's no doubt that for that meeting, one person sort of hijacked the topic of mm-hmm. conversation,
yeah.
you know, and you address it. And there's probably been times where the loving thing to do based on that situation was for all of us to just kind of submit to that situation, that in the sense that, you know what, like, you know, I'm going to lay down my desires and rights today, all of us as a group, for the sake of perhaps a weaker brother or someone in the need. And it's clearly in a position where they're not able, they have to spew all this stuff out. And, you know, there's been times that we probably walked away. Maybe we should have said something to stop them. But sometimes I think maybe there's been times where it's like, you know what?
Could it be just as simple as saying, Gavin, I appreciate what you're saying. Why don't we let someone else weigh in on this? I mean, hopefully that didn't hurt your feelings.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe...
I think that it is as simple
but
as that.
But I know you, Gavin, you're going to say, no, I'm not finished. I've got more to say, so...
Yeah. And honestly, my experience has been that there's a lot of times people are afraid to even just say that.
Yeah.
You know, it takes courage.
Right.
And again, this is the hard part about Simple Church. We're so used to just not having to interact with anybody and not have to sharpen anyone. We just sit passively by.
Yeah.
And so we're kind of trained to do that. So somebody starts going off on something, it's natural for us to just sit there and take it. We've been taking it for years and hearing messages.
Well, I'm not
going
to take it anymore.
You know, so it's easy. We don't know really how to do that. But, you know, I think there's grace. You try.
You try
to interject. Sometimes it doesn't work. I've tried to stop people from talking and it hadn't worked very good. And then you learn and you kind of wrestle with the Lord about that. How can I, you know? But again, we're trying to help people to learn to relate and to interact with the body in a way that's mutually edifying. And so it's not loving to let a person do that either in a meeting continually or in repeated meetings. If maybe they do it one meeting, it's not the loving thing to do.
Yeah.
And so how you approach it, you know, I think if you kind of, you know, I always try to bring it up in general, like in a general terms at the beginning. And usually if people are in my home, you know, and again, if you're meeting in a home, you're, you know, just by a matter of principle, I think whoever's hosting and whoever's home you're in, if you're in a home, it's your job. It's a great opportunity for you to say, hey, want to welcome you here. Here's kind of some ways we like to do things in our house as
okay.
a family, and we want to invite you all to be a part of that as well. And, you know, that's not to say there's going to be some people that it's one ear out the other. It's just going right over their head. They're realizing that they're breaking the very rules and kind of the courtesy that you've established for guests in the home. But a lot of times people will be aware of it. If you've set those parameters,
yeah.
they'll say, "Oh, I'm sorry." They're like, even if they did, they're like, "I'm really talking too much. I'm sorry." They're aware of it. And that's different. That there's grace to give when people
right.
are working. You know, they're trying to rein themselves in, but they, you know.
So a couple of things I want to weigh in on that. You said, you know, the host might be the one responsible. And in our groups, we have the host, but we may or may not have a teacher that's not the host. And by teacher, I mean he's not really going to lecture, I hope. He's not going to be that guy.
Yeah.
So hopefully he is engaging everyone. So in a small group, I know a lot of people say, well, we don't want to have a leader except the Holy Spirit, and so that no one's in charge and no one is kind of facilitating this conversation. So you may not have someone that'll readily speak up and say, hey, look, you need to speak less, you need to speak more. So how do you do that if you have a group that's, you know, they don't want to designate a leader?
Yeah, that's kind of the group. I mean, I don't think, you know, that's probably more how we do it, you know,
mm-hmm.
in our simple church. It's definitely more of like when we get together every week, it's kind of like, hey, we're all here to contribute. But honestly, there is a leader in every group, whether
yeah.
or not they're
yeah.
identified or not.
Hopefully,
you know?
It's not the loudmouth.
Yeah,
the,
hopefully.
The guy you're trying to,
yeah.
Not silence, but
in every situation, there's going to be a leader and people that are, you know, I think this is one of those things that you work through. There's not an easy answer to it, but I think that just reaffirming what we're there for, reaffirming what the scripture says about order, affirming that there's not anyone here that should not, if they're led by the Spirit, should not be able to stop talking to give someone else another opportunity. If you are not able to stop talking, then clearly it says, you know, that the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Like, you have that ability, if God's truly leading you, to defer. And there's a, you know, if you can't, then there's clearly something wrong. And, you know, those are, I don't know. I mean, I think that practically speaking, you know, you don't have to control that. There is a sense, and if you lay the principles out for what it means for Christians to interact with each other, it's not going to be, you're going to get it wrong, and there's going to be a learning process that's going to happen if you've never been a part of a meeting like this or get, you know, interacted with people in this way. And I think I say, just work through it. You know, don't
yeah.
give up on that idea because it didn't go well, or, you know, it will take some uncomfortableness that you'll
yes.
have to work through. It clearly, the most comfortable thing would be for someone to just be in charge and tell everybody when to talk and not to talk and what to say and what to read and what not to read. And so for some people, that may be what you need to do and where you're at. If you're going to go more of the route that we go, there is going to be those awkward times. And I say those can be windows into people's hearts, that you have an opportunity then to follow up with them, maybe for coffee the next day or after you're done.
Right.
To really, I mean, when someone kind of goes off, you know, maybe is inappropriate in a way, a lot of times it is a window into their heart of what's going on and maybe some other issues that you can then address with them in a personal way.
I know I've shared this story with you, Gavin, but I'll share it again because I think it's appropriate here. My wife and I do international student ministry, and sometimes we organize small group Bible studies for students that want to study the Bible. And maybe this is the first time they've ever opened a Bible and they want to read it and learn what it says and you know, absorb it and figure it out for themselves. So when we have that study, we do like the discovery questions that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. You know, what does this mean? What did you like? What did you learn about God? What do you need to do about it? So when we train an American volunteer who wants to work with us, we have an intense period of training with them, you know, half a day or whatever.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we tell them is, if you're going to come to one of our Bible studies, we don't want you to talk. We don't want you. And we say this nicely, but we explain this, and this is the explanation. Typically what happens is you get a Christian who's really excited. Oh, I'm sharing Christ with these brand new international students who have never heard the gospel before. Well, of course, That's what they want to do. They want to talk. They want to talk. They want to explain it. But if we're looking at a passage of Scripture that they've just now opened and they've seen it for the very first time, if you're doing a small group Bible study that's very interactive, you know, you're asking questions, you're guiding them in a discussion, if you ask a question like, well, what do you think this passage means? What's the American going to do? He's going to go, oh, I know. I learned this in Sunday school. It means that this is this and this and this.
Yeah.
Well, if you keep doing that, you're going to shut down any kind of learning process for these people that don't know the Bible, and you're going to embarrass them. Like, I don't know as much as this guy, so I will never speak up. I might say something stupid. So what we do is we tell the American Christians, or Christians that have been Christians for any length of time, we tell them, if you're going to come to one of our Bible studies, please don't talk. And if a question comes out and you know you want to answer that question, we say, just count to 20.
Yeah.
1,000, 2,000, 3,000. And it may be uncomfortable for you because you don't like to hear the silence, and you know you just have to give that answer. But what's happening is the students are thinking about this answer, and they're thinking in their heart and in their mind, they're thinking of the answer, they're processing it, and maybe they come up with the wrong answer, but they have processed the Scriptures, and that will, you know, the Bible says the Scriptures won't return void. But if you're always butting in with the Sunday school answer, you're shutting down that processing.
Yeah.
Process.
Again, this is, you know, even just hearing you talk, Tom, like, I think sometimes this kind of comes down to when we, you know, really how we deal with this issue, and even how these issues come up, it kind of comes back to a bigger question of, like, what is our purpose for getting together?
Mm-hmm.
You know, different simple churches may answer this different ways, and I don't know that there's necessarily a right or wrong answer. It might vary between seasons. You know, if our main purpose is coming together is to provide a teaching time, like whether it be even if an interactive teaching time, then I think how we handle a person who may want to go off on a tangent or take a side issue and run with it, you know, is very different. I'm thinking in our group, like, we really try to help people learn to feed on God's word throughout the week, kind of like teaching people to fish. And then we've kind of tried to create an atmosphere where we want people to come and share a nugget of something that God has taught them that week.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not really trying to engage in a debate or even a teaching in the sense of, like, dissecting certain types of issues. It's more of, we've tried to encourage and create an environment where people are learning and dissecting and engaging and wrestling and going on their tangents in more of a one-on-one or two or three kind of a setting throughout the week,
right,
or on a phone call with me or someone else as they're wrestling through the Scripture. I mean, there's this sense of, and when we get together as a simple church, that we are coming together to build up, number one. So I'm not coming necessarily to lay an issue on the table in that setting for discussion that could be highly controversial and that could maybe, you know, get us going in tangents and get everyone, like, trying to, you know, that happens. Sometimes it happens, but it is more of a sense, and what we're saying is we want people to come and use discernment. What has God spoken to you this week? You're not just coming up to just start talking about something that you just, you know, boom, but what has God put on your heart this week to bring to the table?
Right.
To build up and to encourage. Is it a scripture? Is it a teaching? Is it a song? Is it a story of something that God did in your life that week? You know, and we've tried to really create and establish that is what that time is for. You know, and so we really do reiterate that every week. You know, we try to reiterate that, hey, this is what we're here for. Let's remind ourselves. And I think that helps with that issue, particularly of kind of the person. There's always, it always can happen, though, you know, and still you just, how you handle it's different.
So we're talking about how to deal with people in your small group, in your house church, in your simple church, in your group of people, as you're meeting and gathering. How do you deal with someone who talks too much? Let's let's wrap that up. But let's talk about, how do you deal with someone who never speaks up at all? What do you do with the person who all they do is just sit? All they do is that okay? Do you try to encourage them to contribute? Do you shame them do you embarrass them, or is it okay for them to just be silent all the time?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, because you want to let people kind of come along at their own pace, and you want to let people, but you don't, you know. I think as someone, you know, I'm always asking, why would that person not be speaking? Is it because they don't feel that they have time? You know, is it because they couldn't have got a word in if they wanted to? Are there too many, maybe there's too many people in the simple church? You know, if you got 15 people sitting around all trying to talk, and you're only meeting for an hour or so or two, you know, it's like, man, it may be an issue that there's just, they don't have time to get a word, they couldn't get a word in, you know? Right. So why might it be, you know? And I think this is something you just ask the Lord for wisdom about, you know. I always am practically trying to be aware of that, so I might, you know, personally I would ask, so, you know, hey, John Doe, is there anything going on this week in your life that we can pray for you about? Or, you know, we haven't heard from you this week. How's things going for you? You know, we're a pretty close-knit group, so if somebody doesn't speak, you know, I mean, there's people there, that's not an inappropriate thing to say. It's something that we would usually say. You know, my feeling is that everybody that's there should have the opportunity to be prayed for or contribute in some way.
Yeah.
And if they choose not to, that's great. I usually extend that invitation. Yes. Sometimes all it takes is a prod, like, hey, how are you guys doing this week? You know, yeah. And then that opens the floodgates, and they will share something that God taught them, or they will share
right.
a struggle or something they'll bring to the table that we can.
So without embarrassing them, you intentionally kind of try to include them, even if it's just asking them,
yeah,
how are you doing? What do you think of this?
Yeah, I generally do. If I'm there, you know, and again, it's not me. Sometimes the other people will do it. But
yeah. But
if I'm in a group like that where we're trying to encourage participation, I usually just take that responsibility on myself to care enough to ask, hey, how are you doing? Anything we can pray for you about, at least,
right.
you know?
Yeah, one thing you don't want to do is put them on the spot, like, you know, ask them, what does this verse mean? I mean, they may not, first of all, they may not know, and they're too embarrassed to speak up.
Yeah.
But a lot of people just have the kind of personality where they just shrivel up if you shine light on them, and they just want to be in the background. You know, God is still there working on them.
Yeah.
So if you do encourage them to talk, I mean, you know, you want to make sure that you're not doing it in such a way that you're putting them on the spot or embarrassing them or shaming them in any way. But, you know, yeah, gently encourage them. Maybe a little time to come out of their shell.
I think another challenging issue is too is that, you know, I'm thinking in our, you know, instances where people might just contribute something. It may not be long-winded. It may not necessarily be disruptive, but it's just not true.
Okay,
you know,
we'll
so.
Talk about that.
You've been listening to Keep It Simple, a podcast dedicated to the idea of being the church in simple ways. Find us on the web at keepitsimplepodcast.com. That's keepitsimplepodcast.com. You can also like us on Facebook at Keep It Simple, a simple church podcast. Or you can find us on iTunes. We welcome your feedback and your prayers.